the fabulous second half of our Ask the Professor remote from Axel Brewery and Livernoy Tap in Ferndale, Michigan, just north of the McNichols campus, the University of Detroit Mercy. I have a fun bunch of people with me here today. Heather is here.
Hello.
Dan's here.
Super fun here.
Prasad's here.
Yo.
Mr. Joe.
I'm here.
Mr. Dr. Professor Joe. Jim.
What more could you ask for?
Dave.
Cash up front.
And Stephanie.
Hello.
Excellent. Let's get back to our questions. We are just in the middle of a great group of questions from Kimberly Richards, all the way from California. How much salt, teaspoon-wise, is in a dash, a pinch, and a smidgen?
Oh, a dash is an eighth.
It's true.
A smidgen is a 16th.
A pinch is a 16th.
And a smidgen is a 1/32nd.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly
wow.
correct.
Wow.
Way to go with your ratios there, Dan.
I've never cooked once in my life.
Someone has to measure these out. It would be much easier to measure these in terms of grams, like all good bakers do, and then you wouldn't have to worry about all the fractions. That's all I got to say.
It's not the American way, though.
No, nor
the Canadian way. So.
Not at all. Where in the world were the first pay toilets installed to raise revenue for the greater good of the public?
England.
London. No?
Pennsylvania. In Philadelphia.
No. Briggs' basement.
I'm laughing because this is an ancient civilization.
Rome.
It was Rome. First century A.D. Emperor Titus Vespasian.
Yeah, Titus, all
the
right.
The man who built the Colosseum to ease the financial hardship resulting from the many wars that were being fought.
Of course, they were marble and they had live entertainment.
First paid toilets.
Yes.
That is fascinating.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is a, to this day, sort of like twist in the language, since it was, again, Emperor Vespasian, urinals in Italy are known as Vespasianos, named after the emperor.
You say it was in the Colosseum?
He built the Colosseum, that's right.
Yep, that thing is on top of a hill.
Just don't live at the bottom of it.
I was sure you were going to say something about the fact that he sold it to the public as a tax-free stadium, but then they ended up footing the bill.
The tax came later.
Publicly funded.
Were there pay toilets installed somewhere to pay for the LCA? I mean, it's possible. I might have missed that in the news, you know.
Let's not talk about the LCA. We were having a good show.
Yeah. What U.S. national park, the largest in the United States, is 6 times larger by area than Yellowstone?
Denali?
Yosemite?
Denali, yeah.
No, that's not what it says here.
Yosemite?
Mm-mm. Nope. Although you probably could guess what state this park is in.
Alaska?
Montana?
It's in Alaska. Oh, Alaska.
Well, it's not the Glacier National?
It's not what it says, no.
Klondike?
It says it's called Wrangell St. Elias. Yep.
Wow.
It's 13.2 million acres.
Wow. Where in Alaska is it?
Well, for now.
It is Alaska.
Here's one that I would predict.
It's in the part of Alaska where you can wave to Russia.
From your backyard.
From your backyard.
Who instituted the national park system in 1875?
Roosevelt.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt.
No,
actually,
it says
Grant.
Roosevelt.
It says Grant.
Oh, Grant. Yeah. Madison Grant?
National no, park. Ulysses.
No, Ulysses Grant.
The smallest park is in what state? Gateway National Park.
St. Louis?
Yeah. It's in Missouri. It's basically, yeah,
oh,
St. Louis.
Oh, for the arch.
It's 193 acres.
Yeah, that is a small park because it's carved out of downtown.
All of the land protected by the National Park Act is approximately 52.2 million acres.
For now.
For now. For now. How did New York Yankee great Joe DiMaggio lose a chance to earn an extra $10,000 when his record-setting hitting streak unfortunately ended at 56 games?
Could have bet against himself. He bet for himself?
Joe was a straight arrow, you know, Dan.
He got married to Marilyn Monroe.
He eloped.
A promise was made to him by a company. Hint, hint, his streak ended at 56.
Heinz?
Heinz was going to give him an extra $10,000 if he hit 57, yeah, for the 57 varieties. Poor Jolton Joe.
That sounds like a conspiracy.
It does. It does. I was sure that Dan was going to have some sort of insight because of the shared last name, but, you know, it's all right.
But he knows what a smidgen is.
He knows what a smidgen is every time.
You know, he was a smidgen short of getting the $10,000.
Pinch. You were a pinch short.
As of the recent release last week, we can confirm this, which actor's voice has been present in every Pixar film?
Cliff Clavin. What's his name? Who plays Cliff
Clavin? Ratzenberger.
Yeah. John Ratzenberger.
John Ratzenberger. Yeah, absolutely. He's been every single Pixar movie to date, starting with Toy Story in 1995.
And The Incredibles?
He's been in The Incredibles, yeah.
Has anybody seen that yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's great.
He's supposedly the good luck charm, but I'm not buying that one, so.
Is it crazy to ask why?
They consider him a good luck charm.
It's just sort of like, you know, I mean. I
have a question. Does that also include the shorts?
I don't think it includes the shorts. I think it's been the features. The features.
Yep. He was in the some of the Cars shorts still, though.
Yes. Yeah, he's in all of them.
He was in Coco last year. And
then there's
Stew.
Also the ice cream truck, too, that's in all of them.
Who was he in Toy Story? Mr. Potato Head?
No. He was, I think, who was Mr. Potato Head? It was Don Rickles, I think.
Right. No, I think he was the T-Rex.
Oh, man, this is killing me now.
T-Rex?
Who was John Ratzenberger? A very distinctive voice, right? That's why they like him. Which was the only one of the original 13 colonies that did not send delegates to the Continental Congress of 1774?
Vermont.
It was not Vermont.
Delaware.
FYI, at the time, the natives were threatening to attack, and colonists in this state feared that by sending reps to the meeting in Philadelphia, they risked losing the support of the British troops who were still defending their border.
Georgia.
It's Georgia. Yeah, it was Georgia.
Like I said, we're helpless without our U.S. map above our heads.
I know, it's true. What was the doomed Marie Antoinette apologizing for when she told her executioner, quote, "Pardon me, sir, I didn't mean to do it," unquote?
Buy so many shoes?
You know, it's a foot-related thing, but not a shoe-related thing.
Did she trip on the steps going up?
No, she actually stepped on the foot of her executioner.
She stepped on his foot.
Yeah.
That made him hone the blade even more.
Classic.
Yes.
I'm getting you.
She was very polite.
A high treason because of her intelligence activities and interest of the enemy. The latter charge alone was enough to condemn her to death. She was guillotined within hours of the verdict being passed.
Yeah, well.
Now that's justice.
Her husband didn't do much better.
Yeah.
How polite in defeat she was.
Literally.
You know, most of the people that helped decide that ended up getting their heads cut off later on.
Oh, it's true. It's true. I think I've heard this piece of trivia before, but not in this way. A Marlon Brando movie from the 70s was banned in Italy. Do you know which one it was?
Last Tango in Paris.
You know this right off the top of
your
head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was almost banned here.
Yeah. This is pretty hilarious. Let's see. The Italian courts defined the movie as self-serving pornography.
Yeah.
And its director, Bertolucci, was put to trial for obscenity. Following first-degree and appeal trials, the fate of the film was sealed on the 26th of January, 1976, by the Italian Supreme Court, ordering that all copies of the film were to immediately be destroyed.
Well, it was considered for an X rating here in this country.
Yep. There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so weird. I never knew that it was supposed to be that controversial. Now, has anybody at the table seen this movie?
Last Tango in Paris? Decades
long time ago.
Okay, our engineer has. I mean, how is it versus modern standards?
It's not one I would choose to watch again.
You've seen it once and that's it, right?
That's enough.
Everybody's going to Wikipedia right now. They're
listening. The other one was the Postman Always Rings Twice with Jack Nicholson.
That
also got into trouble.
It's true. It's true.
What's the name of the actress? Don't remember.
Another sports question. Who is the first Major League Baseball player to have his number retired by his team?
Ty Cobb.
It wasn't Ty Cobb. It was not Ty Cobb. As a matter of fact, Cobb never wore a number, so that's kind of a weird thing.
Babe Ruth.
Was it Ruth? Was not Ruth.
Lou Gehrig.
It was Gehrig, it was Gehrig. First baseman, 17 seasons with the Yankees. Gehrig was renowned for his prowess as a hitter and durability, which got him the nickname the Iron Horse. He was admitted to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1939, the fourth class to be admitted to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Well, he gave up because of the disease, right?
Because of his disorder.
Named after him.
Yep.
ALS.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, more animal questions here. What do pigeons, hippopotamus, and salmon have in common when it comes to the way they communicate?
Subsonic?
They all squeak.
Yeah.
They coo.
subsonic hums.
I gotta give it to Dave. It's infrasonic, which means they're low pitch communication, low pitch, under 20 hertz.
Wow,
that's pretty amazing.
Huh.
To duplicate transmissions in this range, which the Navy uses for submarines, by the way, requires an extremely large antenna, i.e., 28 miles long or longer.
Whoa,
that's crazy.
Who figures out this stuff? It turned into a physics question way faster than I thought it would, actually.
Well, you guys heard what happened in Cuba with the embassy, right?
No, yeah. What's this?
Yeah, the people were getting sick. People were getting headaches from it.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the sonic waves.
It's happening in China, too.
Were they very low-pitch?
Supposedly low-pitch or high-pitch, one of the two. I can't remember which one.
I think it's a low-pitched.
I would think high-pitch would hurt.
I don't know. Anyway.
Professors...
Uh-oh. Oh, that would be us.
What was the Flashmatic? Uh-oh. It was a brand name. An innovative ray gun-shaped device advertised as harmless to humans in 1955. What was it?
A neutron device.
It was actually a household device.
A flashlight?
That's a good guess.
Flash for your camera?
No.
That's a good guess.
A roach killer.
Yeah.
I would have sort of liked having this, even in the modern day, sort of ray gun shaped.
All remote.
Yeah, so remote control, yeah. That was Xena's first remote control. And think more about the Flashmatic while we take a break.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, recorded in June at Axel Brewery in Ferndale, Michigan. You can send your questions to the professors by email at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to this special summer edition of Ask the Professor.
And we are back. So more great questions. We were just talking about the Flashmatic. That was Zenith's first ray gun-shaped TV remote control. For the record, two of the brandings for the Flashmatic that never flew. It was originally called the Lazy Bones. Makes sense. And in the late 80s, there was a chance to change the brand name to the Space Commander. Thank God they did not do that. Wow. That's pretty silly. What role did these ships play in American history? The Susan Constant, Godspeed, and the Discovery. What were they a part of?
Didn't they come over to Jamestown?
They came over to Jamestown. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
1619.
Yep, that's what it says here. They were returned to England laden with, quote, supposedly precious minerals.
Tobacco, mostly.
I'm guessing. Not exactly a mineral, but, you know, interesting. They returned and were part of an expedition to the Canadian Arctic.
Didn't know that.
Pretty hardy ships here. I love how, you know, you got Discovery. Wow. Okay, that sounds like Star Trek. You know, Godspeed, sure, whatever. Yeah. And the Susan Constant. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, she probably fronted the money for it. That's right. All.
I it's mean, like one step away from Stephanie Conant, the way I'm feeling Susan when I see Constant. The Susan Constant.
Yeah, HMS Stephanie.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Someday.
Oh, my gosh. Who was the first NBA player drafted directly from high school to the pros in 1974?
Moses Malone,
absolutely. Oh my gosh, yep. 21 years as a pro in the NBA. That's incredible. He's one of the 50 greatest players in history. Nine different teams, mostly with the 76ers. He died in his sleep at the age of 60 in 2015 due to hypertension.
Oh.
Poor guy. I had a few Moses Malone trading cards, I think, back in the day. Which element constitutes 78% of the Earth's atmosphere?
You have a ship named
nitrogen.
It's nitrogen, yes, absolutely. What's second?
Oxygen.
It's oxygen. Oxygen. No. About 21%. Yep. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Most of the other elements that are in the atmosphere make up less than 1% all put together. In what 1965 film did Agatha Christie sleuth Hercule Poirot and Miss Jane Marple actually appear together?
Orient Express?
No, that's not what it says here. Nope.
Oh, 65?
You guys know your Agatha Christie? For the record, the movie stars Tony Randall as Poirot, and features a brief cameo with Margaret Rutherford as Miss Marple. Very tongue-in-cheek. Do you guys know what it is?
It's not Murder by Death.
21%.
I love that movie.
I know, my favorite. Yeah.
So it was the Alphabet Murders, and they worked it in as a, it sounds like it's like a Marvel superhero cameo. They're literally walking past each other on the street, stop, double track, look at each other oddly, and then they continue with their walking. It's kind of cute.
The Mysterious Affair at Styles?
In the Agatha Christie-verse, that's the way that those characters interact, right? Who's a modern person that always has to appear
in
his own movies?
Oh, there is one in which they do show up.
Quentin Tarantino, Stan Lee.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah. Yeah. Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
Alfred Hitchcock used to.
No, who did the... He did, like, Spider-Man and...
Are you thinking of, like, Bruce Campbell?
Nope.
In Spider-Man? Which one? The original ones, or
what's his name?
It's as hard as coming up with the name of the pig from Toy Story.
One of my favorite
his
movies.
His name was Ham, and that was John Ratzenberger. Yeah. Stephanie's doing research. What famous early American was the first person to use dental evidence to identify human remains? This is pretty interesting. I've never heard this before.
Paul Revere.
It says Paul Revere. Yeah, it says Paul Revere here.
He's pictured as having nice teeth.
Why was it Paul Revere? What did he have to do with dental records?
Wasn't he making dental apparatus because he was a silversmith?
It says that he was big into fitting false teeth because he was a silversmith.
Teeth.
Yeah, he made the first known dental forensic identification of a body in 1775 when he positively identified the remains of Patriot leader Dr. Joseph Warren, killed during the Battle of Bunker Hill, but buried in an unmarked grave by his opponents, the British.
John Favreau. That's what I was thinking of.
John Favreau. Okay.
Oh, the director.
But he's been in a bunch of those same movies.
Yeah, he's also Happy Hogan in the Iron Man series, too.
Right.
So this is like
an
interesting sort of angle on the Revere thing. Revere had worked on Warren's dentures, so knew he had two false teeth in a certain position. So when they dug up the corpse and found that there again, he said, "This is Dr. Warren." So
now I'm just wondering, if he dug him up, did he also like, "Yeah, give me the silver back"?
No,
or is that kind of grisly?
I don't know what to say about that.
Okay,
I don't know what to say about that. Silver is a very precious metal.
Yes, it is.
One more from Kimberly Richards. Always really, really good questions. Thanks for sending them in.
And send more.
In what language is K-O-L-N-I-D-R-E, Kol Nidre, written? It's an ancient prayer, the Kol Nidre. In what language?
Hebrew.
Is it written? That's what it says, yep. I mean, Hebrew is good. It says technically it's written in Aramaic.
Aramaic.
The tongue of Christ, yes. Strictly speaking, not a prayer, although commonly spoken of it as if it was. Its name is taken from the opening words, meaning all vows. Introduced into the liturgy despite opposition of some rabbinic authorities, it was attacked in the course of time by some rabbis in the 19th century, no longer used by the Jewish peoples in modern
Joseph
day.
Joseph of Arimathea?
Yeah. Oh, you're doing a little Monty Python
thing. He must have died
right now,
while he was writing it.
Are you referring to the castle of
Sorry.
Maybe he was killed while he was writing it, but would he keep writing if he was being killed? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Oh, my gosh. We're having way too much fun today. Way too much fun
here today. At Axel Brewing Company.
Here at Axel Brewing and Livernoid Tap in Ferndale, Michigan. Ferndalian? What way do you prefer? Ferndalians or Ferndaleites? This is incredible. All right, we got another set of questions here. We're moving on to a set of questions from our friend Judy Palmer. It was great hearing my recent questions used. As promised, I've come up with 25 more for your team challenge. Please feel free to use at your discretion, and I hope the professors enjoy. Thanks, Judy, for sending those
in.
That's
use
great.
Them with discretion.
We will. Hold on. Okay, I've got the discretion. We're ready to go. I don't know if I've ever heard this one before, and now I feel like we need our crack research team to take a look. Three U.S. states... for state elections, conduct their elections exclusively by mail.
Oh, Oregon is one of them.
Oregon is one of them. I've never heard that before.
Washington State?
Washington. And another state out in that direction. Let's just say that this state probably has a local budget surplus to do whatever they want recently.
California. No.
I was referring to Colorado and it's being the first state to legalize pot.
Oh, because of pot.
So Oregon, Washington, and Colorado, all of the statewide elections are done entirely by mail.
Yeah, I remember them counting the votes back in 2016. Discretion, because it took a while because they were all mailed in.
Sure. But they still weren't the last state to report their returns. That was Michigan.
Yeah.
All right.
Fressa.
Statistics are meaningless. Yeah. Where on the human body do you find Cupid's bow? In quotes, Cupid's bow.
Face?
It is somewhere on your face.
Is it under your nose?
That is exactly where it is. It's in the middle of your upper lip.
That's not what it's called.
Professor Conan begs to differ. Well, I'm guessing the Cupid's bow can't be the technical term.
It's slang. That's not...
What is this called?
This is Cupid's bow.
It does make your upper lip look like a bow.
It does. Yeah, it sort of does.
Yeah. I can't remember.
That's an F. Yeah.
Even we call into question the actual, you know, data at these shows. What can I say? You know, we're all experts.
And we're clueless.
Well, we came to the right bar. That's all I've got to say. What is Ferris Bueller's best friend's name and the actor that portrayed him?
Alan Ruck played.
Oh, I can see his face.
Wearing his Red Wings jersey, right?
The Gordie Howe jersey. Was it something like Donovan or something odd, kind of slightly quirky?
As Dave thinks, I'm going to take a sip.
What is it? This is going to bother
me now.
What
is the technical? What's the technical term?
I know.
I can picture it.
Initials CF.
Oh, yeah.
Cameron.
Cameron Fry was his name. Yes. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yes,
that's like 75%. What are the five least populated U.S. states? I actually have them in the reverse order, meaning starting with the least populated.
Wyoming.
Wyoming's number one.
Vermont.
Vermont is number two.
Alaska. North Dakota,
yes. Alaska is number three. North Dakota's number four. And South Dakota's number five. Yep, you got them. Wyoming, Vermont, Alaska, North, South Dakota.
Okay.
That's why they don't have that many people in Congress. What do Weilers, Lee and Perrin, Bagel Bites, Orida, and Classico all have in common as brands?
Juice?
The food. Is it a common ingredient?
Not a common ingredient.
Are they owned by the same company?
They're owned by the same company. What is it?
Pepsi-Cola.
No.
There's only like 11 of them.
Ocean Spray.
Minute Maid.
Nestle.
ConAgra.
Monsanto.
There we go. Monsanto.
No.
I was expecting someone to end up saying
sad,
a chemical company.
To cut all those things out too.
Well, let's just say
so
that
pure.
I named what did I name? Five. There's 52 more.
Heinz.
Heinz is what it is. Heinz owns them. Yeah, exactly.
There's a graphic going around where there's like 11. Major companies that own everything we interact with.
That's true.
I keep on wondering when I'm just going to become like a Nike subsidiary. That's all. Yeah.
Every once in a while when I was growing up, I was a Kool-Aid guy. My mom would come home with the Weilers, and we'd like take a sip. We're like, we know this is Weilers. We're going to drink it because it's hot, but never buy it ever again. You got to be kidding me. Purplesaurus Rex rules. What is the most popular radio show in America?
Ask the professor.
With 14.9 million listeners daily.
It's going to be depressing.
No, it's going to be an uplifting answer to you.
Okay. What was it like? All things considered?
Yeah. All things considered.
I'll give it to you. It's Morning Edition.
Morning Edition.
Absolutely.
Wow.
When you need real data, you know where
I'm
to
sure
go.
I'm sure we're second then.
It's not Pig Boy.
We got to be in the top 10. It's reasonable. I'm not saying it's right. It is reasonable as an attack strategy to go to where people are getting their information.
What?
Millions. Yeah, that's a lot of the country, right? What band did John Densmore play the drums for?
The Doors.
The Doors, yes.
Wow.
Cue the Jim Morrison lick. Yes.
Very fast.
Oh, he's a big fan. He got a lot of vinyl at home.
Break
the
on
doors,
through
right?
there, Jim.
Jim was actually a roadie.
No. All things considered.
All what things major considered. Rule change regarding foul players did the NBA make during the 1923-24 season?
Yeah.
That you took foul shots.
It was foul shots. No, you're absolutely right. The people who were fouled had to take their own shots. Previously, each team has a designated shooter.
Everybody else is kind of in the hundreds of thousands. These guys
are earlier change in the rules removed the requirement for a player's second foul, mandating his removal without substitution until the next successful goal, which was taken from hockey, by the way. Free throws were introduced as part of the earlier change.
That is
originally
a good,
worth 3 points each, then
very
got changed to one. So, Joe knows his sports. He's a good guy. In what country would Africa's northernmost place be? What
Egypt.
Country? Not Egypt.
Morocco.
Not Morocco.
Oh, Tunisia?
Tunisia is what it says here. Yeah, Tunisia. Right next to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's igloo. Yep, in Tunisia.
That's still there, too.
So. Oh, it's still there, yeah.
So it's a tourist trap.
They filmed a lot of Star Wars in Tunisia. Oh, man, can you believe it? We've gone through so many questions during this session. I'm afraid the time has come for us to say goodbye. Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See you.
Jim.
Au revoir.
Joe.
Take care.
Prasad.
Bye-bye.
Dan.
Ciao.
Heather.
Arrivederci.
And now these words.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1998.
On my left, one of the original founding fathers of Ask the Professor from the Department of History, Professor Emeritus, former chair, Fred Hayes.
Yes. Well, thank you, Ed.
I want to begin this program, which is the last program I will be moderating, with a set of questions that were actually sent to Borders by Bert Tilley of Atala, Alabama. Bert has been one of our regular questioners for, it seems like, forever. He says, good luck, Edwin, George, and Sarah. Don't be a stranger, but stay strange. Thank you, Bert. Yeah. This U.S. industrialist made cars, the Hoover and the Grand Coulee Dams, aluminum foil, and the Liberty Ships. Who was he?
Henry Kaiser.
That's right. That's right.
Right. He made the Kaiser roll, too.
Yeah,
people don't know that. After he got through being Emperor of Germany.
Yeah. What deformity had Kaiser Wilhelm II?
His arm was withered. His left arm.
It occurred during his birth. What was it?
His withered arm.
That's right.
Royalty is itself a deficiency.
Yeah.
Did he pitch for the Tigers?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page. Today's edition of Ask the Professor was recorded at the Axel Brewery in Ferndale, Michigan. Our on-site engineers were Brian Masonville and Jared Gustenkors. Our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you back next week for another edition of Ask the Professor.